I'm a damn good cyber chatter, and I like to go online. I'm a damn good cyber chatter. I'm online all the time. When I go into the room, everybody leaves, because I'm a damn good cyber chatter, and I never aim to please. When I ask for the Juarez, I sell it like Juarez, because I'm a damn good cyber chatter, and I'll keep asking for your wares. I'm a damn good cyber chatter. And I like to go online! I'm a damn good cyber chatter! And I hope you like my rhyme!
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It's December the 28th, 2023. It is Thursday. I have somewhere to be at night, at, well, 1945 UTC, basically. So I'm pre-recording the show, but I'll be in comm for the first 10 or 15 minutes, so sorry if that's confusing. I did find the damn good song recently, and so I wanted to do a little version of that at the top of the show. Yeah, so anyway, sorry, I'm just all over the place, because recording the show is unusual for me now. Used to, I don't know if anybody remembers, but 4 or 5 years ago, I used to record the show ahead of time, all the time. Ooh, excuse me. All right. Well, let's get into it. We've got a lot of news to cover. Well, we've got some news to cover. So let's get started with the death and destruction. We'll get a song for that eventually, but death. Over 40 people died as a gas tanker exploded in Liberia's Totota. At least 40 people died after a gas tanker exploded in north-central Liberia, the country's chief medical officer, Francis Kata, said on Wednesday. Late Tuesday, a fuel truck crashed into Totota, Lower Bong country, about 130 kilometers from the capital of Monrovia. After exploding, the blast killed and injured many who had flocked to the scene. Kat told local news on Wednesday that it was difficult to determine the number of victims because some had been reduced to ashes. If that is not destruction, I don't know what is. How about that? Sorry, kids, we don't know if your mom is alive or not. All we have is this puddle, and we're not sure if that's her or not. We have our team going from home to home to check those that are missing. Police had earlier put the death toll at 15 and said at least 30 others were injured as locals gathered at the scene. There were lots of people that got burned, said Prince B. Mulba, Deputy Inspector General for the Liberia National Police. According to United Nations figures, poor road safety and weak infrastructure have made sub-Saharan Africa the world's deadliest region for crashes, with the fatality rate 3 times higher than the European average. I saw an article, it was a little bit too long to cover in the show, our show, but it was talking about the low altitude alarm. Basically, that's what made Honeywell, the company, a company, as this guy had developed a way to alert airplanes when they were about to hit a mountain. And that, believe it or not, was the number one cause of crashes for a long time. So the article was quoted as saying that there was a crash into a mountain about once a month by commercial flights. So, whew, I'm glad that exists. but yeah, definitely. Instrumentation and infrastructure make a big deal. Anyway, after Tuesday's crash, some locals took the leaking gas when the tanker exploded. Another officer, police officer, Malvin Sekor, said, he added that police were still gathering the total number of injured and killed. An eyewitness told AFP that people climbed all on top of the truck, taking the gas, while some of them had irons hitting the tanker for it to burst for them to get gas. People were all around the truck, and the driver of the truck told them that the gas was spilling. They could take that, but some people were even using screwdrivers to pit holes in the tank. Oh, man, very tragic. You may remember in Mexico a few years ago, where they were having a lot of trouble with that. People just drilling holes into the big transnational gas pipelines. So, pretty wild. Let's delete that. Let's delete and archive all our email. Okay, sorry, I got spaced out. Hyde from That 70s Show went to prison today. And so my friends are blowing up my phone because we were making fun of him earlier. Anywho, yeah, so anyway, don't climb on top of a tanker that's actively spewing fuel. In the DRC, another way to die is found. At least 15 people died between Tuesday and Wednesday in Bukavu, in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo, during heavy rains. The bad weather caused damage in different neighborhoods of the capital of South Kivu, whose population is estimated at around 2 million inhabitants, causing landslides, building collapses, and the overflowing of a river. A member of the staff of the provincial hospital on condition of anonymity told AFP that they had received 15 bodies coming from different corners of the city. For his part, Joseph Mugishu Zahorlira, spokesperson for Bukavu Town Hall, declared that at least 19 people died and 5 were injured, and 11 members of the same family carried away by the floodwaters. That's tough. When the whole family goes... It's sad when one person survives out of the big family. If it's the whole family, at least nobody's left to suffer, I guess. It's still real sad. And I want to say, I make light of these deaths and destruction, but it's just more of a way to not be bummed out by all the sad news we read. So, yeah, I still feel bad for them. Don't take it any other way. And down to the lowest body total that you can have in a murder story or a death and destruction story, a teenage boy has been killed in a shark attack at a popular holiday surfing spot in South Australia. The body was recovered from the water after the attack near Ethel Beach in the Inns National Park on the York Peninsula. A local resident told ABC News Thursday's attack was the first fatal one at the resort that he was aware of. The attack is the last of several in South Australia's waters recently. In a statement, South Australia police said its officers were first alerted about the attack at 13:30 local time. Sadly, the body of a teenage boy was recovered from the water. Ethel Beach is 400 meters long, and it's a sandy surf beach popular with surfers and tourists, with waves averaging 1.5 meters. Be careful out there if you're swimming in Australia. If you're swimming in the Black Sea, though, this is a destruction story. A cargo ship in the Black Sea heading to the Ukraine, wouldn't you know it, it ran into a mine. The unnamed Panama flagship was heading towards Ukraine's Danube ports when it hit a mine, causing it to lose speed and control and sparking a fire on the upper deck. Ukraine has created a maritime corridor for commercial ships, which first passed close to the shores of Bulgaria and Romania. The border force did not specify exactly when or where the incident happened. The Maritime Bulletin, a website that tracks the shipping sector, wrote that the Greek-owned Panama flagship, called Vissos, had a mine explode under its stern on Wednesday morning while on the way to the port of Izmail. Previously, two civilian cargo ships have been damaged by Russian mines, the Odessa Maritime Guard told AFP. The incident reported on Thursday, the captain intentionally ran the ship aground to stop it sinking, and Ukraine has sent out tugs that will take it into port. The Maritime Guard brought doctors who treated one of the injured sailors on the spot, while the other was hospitalized and is in good condition. Ukraine has pushed Russian warships in the western part of the Black Sea to allow some cargo ships in, but the water remains heavily mined, including by Russian planes, and is particularly dangerous in stormy weather. So, there you go. There are mines in the water. I wonder how many years it'll take to get rid of those. I mean, I don't know. We certainly didn't clean up Southeast Asia very well. Whew. Well, it's 1910 UTC or so, so I just want to make sure and remind you that you're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. And SDF is powered by you. So thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in, listening, checking it all out. At 1930 UTC, in just 20 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio. You can always go to anonradio.net and check out the schedule there. That's in UTC time zone. That's the only way to coordinate a global effort, UTC time zone. But, or UTC time. UTC isn't a time zone. Feel free to check that out. Today is Thursday, so let's scroll on down. At 0800, we would have had Chinese pop music. Then, is this Thursday? Yeah, then we'd have Perinde Cadaver from 1330 down to 1500. Then we got Shake Your Booty at 1600, open mic and open VoIP block, and then news to me. So welcome back to programming. Dubious Goals is coming up next, like I said, and then Flux with DJ Stug and Language Soup, followed by Pumpkin Pie. We've got a blank spot, but then Myocyte Hour starts up at 0100 on Friday. So tune in, tune out, whatever. Tune in and zone out, or just go to anonradio.net, press the equal sign in com, or just type Anon Radio at the command prompt. That'll let you in too. Oh yeah, and if you didn't know, the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix has moved back to Saturday and Sundays at 2300 UTC. So check that out. Adjust your schedules, adjust your clocks, whatever you need to do, but check it out. And, oh, I forgot to mention, if you're not hanging out in COM and you want to, all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then once you're there, launch Commode. Just type COM, press Enter, and then type G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And yeah, that's what you do. And once you're there, you'll be in the Anon Radio room, hanging out with all the cool people. Just going off of memory, I'm pretty sure X1 and Stug and Exiled and Ratsu are hanging around along with WX Boss and Jeff and Fog and who else? I don't know. I'm trying to remember all the different names, but there's lots of people hanging out. Quentin. Be sure you give Quentin a negative. He's got the lowest score you can get, I think. Especially with that, like, buffer overflow or something that happened. I don't know. Many people idle in COM. You can check idle times with the capital letter T. If the room's been quiet for a while, say hello, but give people time to respond. If you've not read the tutorial, you may get some coarse replies, and you might end up here now reading this welcome. I'm just looking at the COM, not IRC, not IRC tutorial. So yeah, if you're new, remember, COM is not IRC. Okay, enough of that. Enough of that stuff. Let's talk about more things that are kind of they're not great. They're not great, but they're not death. So we'll deal with that. A judge has ordered a woman who set fire to Wyoming's only full-service abortion clinic to pay $300,000 in restitution, or excuse me, $298,000. The full amount sought by prosecutors. Lorna Green is serving 5 years in prison for burning Wellspring Health Access weeks before the clinic was set to open in Casper in 2022. The fire gutted the building while it was being renovated for the new clinic and delayed its opening by almost a year. After opening this past April, Wellspring is now the only abortion clinic in Wyoming. A clinic in Jackson that provided pill abortions closed on the 15th of December due to rising costs. On Tuesday, U.S. District Court judge ordered Green 22 to pay about $298,000 in restitution, including $240,000 to Nationwide General Insurance Company, the clinic's insurer. Oh, now there we go. Now we get to the heart of it. The insurance company paid $240,000. Green must also pay $33,500 to the building's owner, Christine Lichtenfels, and $24,500 to Julie Burkhart, founder and president of Wellspring Health Access. Burkhart expressed satisfaction with the restitution. Not only did we have the emotional struggle and that trauma from the arson, but also it was quite challenging for us financially. So I'm glad this is the final piece and it has been put to rest. The restitution was identical to the amount sought by prosecutors and was unopposed by Green's attorney, who in an emailed statement said on Wednesday that Green looks forward to a productive and peaceful life after a term of incarceration. I mean, once you're in prison for 10 years, I mean, I don't know how you make 300 grand when you get out of prison, especially given how horribly difficult it is for ex-cons to get jobs and hold jobs. But hey, I mean, nothing like holding, you know, financially imprisoning someone, I guess. I don't know. Let's see. The arson and eventual opening of the clinic happened as new laws in Wyoming seek to ban abortion in nearly all cases. The laws, including the nation's first explicit ban on abortion bills, have been put on hold by a judge amid a lawsuit by four women and two nonprofits, including Wellspring Health Access. So, I'll let you know how that goes, but, yeah. And this is a good news story. A 27-year-old man survived 6 days of only drinking rainwater while pinned tightly inside his crashed pickup truck beneath a highway bridge in northwest Indiana. His ordeal ended when two men scouting for fishing spots noticed the badly damaged vehicle, its airbag deployed, and reached inside. They touched the body, and the person turned their head and started talking to them. So they got a little rise out of them, Sergeant Glenn Fifield of the Indiana State Police told local news outlets. That, it's pretty funny, because it's like, oh, yeah, I guess so, huh? Oh, shucks, I don't have a good way to shorten URLs. If you didn't know, TX0.org got abused pretty badly, and so now it requires a username and login, which I don't have, unfortunately. Let's see. Yeah, no, I don't have a username and password for that site. Anyway, the crash is very gnarly. The truck went off the interstate over a bridge, missing the guardrail, and likely rolling several times before landing on the other side of the creek, hidden out of sight from the road above. Let's see, he was rescued from the wreckage Tuesday evening by first responders working under bright floodlights, then airlifted to a hospital. He made it through the night. He is alive, Fifield told the Associated Press. He said the man remained in critical condition Wednesday morning. South Bend Memorial Hospital released a statement thanking people for their support and well wishes, including the Good Samaritans who found him. No matter how tough things get, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes in the least expected way, is the last bit of that statement there. Ugh, sorry, I had to get some water in me talking. In the wintertime, with the humidity, is only 29%, so it's way too dry. Oh! This is a fun thing. I don't know if you guys have had this. I have possibly infinite number of new voicemails in my SDF voicemail box. I deleted like 50 voicemails, and I still have more, and I'm not sure what the deal is. Has anybody ever experienced that? Let me know if you have. All right, we've got about 11 minutes to go, so let's change gears and talk about more like less destruction, more just like technology and science-y type stuff. First, if you didn't know, Apple is a large tech company in the United States, in the world, really. Does all sorts of wild stuff, right? Computers, MacBooks, iPod, used to do iPods. So, anyway, what happened was Apple's use of the oxygen sensor seems to violate, or does violate, somebody else's patent. Well, big money big money means you don't really need to follow that many laws. So, here's the story. Apple scored a victory on Wednesday when a U.S. appeals court paused a government commission's import ban on some of the company's popular Apple smartwatches following a patent dispute with the medical technology firm Masimo. That's M-A-S-I-M-O, Michael Alpha Sierra India Mike Oscar. The tech giant had filed an emergency request for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit to halt the order after appealing the U.S. International Trade Commission's decision that it had infringed on Massimo's patents. Representatives for Apple and Massimo did not respond to requests for comments. In a four-paragraph ruling, the appeals court said it would halt the ban while it considers Apple's motion for a longer-term pause during the appeals process. The court gave the ITC until January 10th to respond to Apple's request. Joe Biden's administration declined to veto the ban on Tuesday, allowing it to take effect. Apple asked for a pause of the ban later that day. Whenever during the Obama administration, there was an iPhone, iPad, and all right, sorry, I got a text message for the thing I'm going to at 1945. In a four-paragraph ruling, the appeals court said it would halt the ban while it considers its motion. That's what I was telling you. The Obama administration had intervened during the, I think Samsung was suing them about using tablets. So it would have impacted iPhones, iPads, and pretty much all the touchscreen devices that Apple makes. And that was able to get an injunction, or the Obama administration intervened. So that's why the company seems to have been thinking it could wait and see if the Biden administration would step in, but it didn't. Massimo has accused Apple of hiring away its employees, stealing its pulse oximetry technology, and incorporating it into Apple Watches. The ITC barred imports and sales of Apple Watches with technology for reading blood oxygen levels. Apple has included a pulse oximeter feature in its smartwatches since its Series 6 model in 2020. Apple has paused sales of its Series 9 and Ultra 2 smartwatches, though the watches have remained available at other retailers, including Amazon, Best Buy, Costco, and Walmart. Of course, these are ones that were already imported. The ban doesn't affect the Apple Watch SE, a less expensive model, without a pulse oximeter. Massimo shares were down almost 5% following the decision, and Apple shares remained flat. So that's a little bit of Apple news for you. Tech news there. Patent disputes. Kind of interesting, right? The Channel Islands are going to lose 3G. If you're in the United States or I'm not sure outside of the United States, but in the U.S., we turned off 3G a while ago. But telecoms firms JT, that's Juliet Tango, has confirmed it intends to begin the phased switch-off of its 3G mobile network across the Channel Islands from January 2025. JT said while 3G had supported calls and data for nearly 20 years, the vast majority of users now used other mobile technologies. UK-wide shutdown of 3G is expected in 2024, but customers with older devices will no longer be able to access most of their mobile data services. Shure and Airtel Vodafone, the other two providers in the islands, have not made announcements on the subject. JT said that its 3G network carried a monthly average of about 5% of user data traffic and was declining. The company said the move would help it reduce its carbon footprint because 4G and 5G were more energy efficient. There you go. If you have a 3G device and you're not a museum and you're not going to donate to a museum, then you may... The event happening, I'm coordinating the event that's happening at 20, it's at 20 UTC, but I need to leave at 1940 UTC or so, and maybe 19, I might just leave at 1930, and listen to the Dubious Goals Committee while I drive there. Glad you checked your email first. See you then. We abruptly, I scheduled the event to happen at 1700 UTC, and I sent the email. Everyone was on board for things to happen when they were going to happen. And then, wouldn't you know it, the day of, everybody was like, I don't know, 1700 UTC is pretty early. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can make it. And so it was very, it was very funny to me because it was like, oh, everyone thinks 1700 UTC is early until you try and actually do something. Anyway, we've got about 4 minutes and some change, 5 minutes to go, so let's keep on a-truckin'. The world's tallest wooden wind turbine has started turning. That's right. According to Modvion, the Swedish startup has just built the world's tallest wooden turbine tower. Using wood for wind power is the future, according to the report. It's got great potential, Otto Lundman, the company's chief executive, says, as we gaze upward at the firm's brand new turbine, a short drive outside Gothenburg. It's 150 meters to the tip of the highest blade, and we are the first journalists to be invited to have a look inside. The 2-megawatt generator on top has just started supplying electricity to the Swedish grid, providing power for about 400 homes. The dream of Lundman and Modvion is to take the wood and wind much higher. On the horizon near the Modvion project, several very similar-looking turbines are turning. Steel, not wood, is the key material for them, as it is almost for all of the world's wind turbine towers. Strong and durable, steel has enabled huge turbines and wind farms to be constructed on land and sea, which is pretty cool. But steel isn't without its limitation, especially for projects on land. As demand has grown for taller turbines that harvest stronger winds with larger generators, the diameter of the cylindrical steel towers to support them has had to grow too. In a world of road tunnels, bridges, and roundabouts, many in the wind industry say getting those huge pieces of metal to turbine sites has become a real headache, in effect limiting how tall new steel turbines can be. Yeah, you gotta get the parts to where the wind power is gonna go. Pretty neat, right? From the outside, there is very little difference between the Modvion wooden turbine and its steel cousins. Both have thick white coatings to protect them from the elements, and blades made primarily from fiberglass attached to a generator, which produces electricity when it turns. It is only when we go inside the tower that the difference becomes clear. The walls have a curved raw wood finish, not unlike a sauna. The 105-meter tower's strength comes from the 144 layers of laminated veneer lumber that made its thick walls. By varying the grain of each of the 3-millimeter thick layers of spruce, Modvion says it has been able to control the wall's strength and flexibility. It's our secret recipe, says the company co-founder. At the factory on the edge of Gothenburg, the thin layers of wood have been glued and compressed together to make curved sections. Those pieces are then taken on-site, glued together into cylinders, and then stacked on top of each other to make the tower. Wood and glue is the perfect combination. We've known that for hundreds of years, Olive Green says, and because using wood is lighter than steel, you can build taller turbines with less material. Lundman and Olive Green tell me their turbine's big selling point is that by using wood and glue, towers can be built in smaller, more easily transported modules. So, it'll be pretty neat whenever it comes about. Of course, though wind power is cheaper and cleaner than most all other forms of electricity generation, making steel involves extremely hot furnaces and almost always the burning of fossil fuels. Modvion says using wood instead of steel eliminates the carbon footprint entirely, making them carbon negative. That's because the trees take the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere when they're alive, and when they're chopped down, the carbon is stored in the wood. As long as the wood doesn't end up rotting or being burned, the carbon's not released. Of course, there's no mention about nuclear power here, except in this chart that shows nuclear is about 5.1 in the carbon footprint of electricity sources, where it shows that the average emissions, grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour in Europe in 2020, showing that coal was 850 to 1,000, natural gas was 430, solar 11 to 37 grams, wind 12 to 14, and nuclear 5.1. So yeah, that's what's going on there. I thought that was very cool. Shucks, we're running out of time. We've only got a few seconds. So thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Dubious Goals Committee coming up next. And yeah, I'll see you back on Friday. Have a great day and all that jazz. Wait, I got an outro song. Hold on. Here it is. Oops, pushed the wrong button. I know it's here somewhere. Here it is.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.
Devin,